I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax, it's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members. Now let's get back to The Gloom.
And we're back. I'm excited to get this guy's story. Recently was a site cue at the farm. I've got our man Sundance on today, and Sundance, I think I've only had just a couple times to sort of be in the gloom next to you, work out next to you. And so I'm excited to just hear your story. Some of it will be hearing it for the first time myself, which will be really cool. And just excited to get it out to the guys, in F3, just so that they can hear it as well. But I would love it if you would start, kind of from that beginning, that EH, story, who EH'd you, what was the first workout like, and then how'd you get the name Sundance?
Yeah. Well, it kind of is a interesting EH story because, I actually first posted in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, my wow. Family was there with my father-in-law's family. His mom and dad actually had just passed away from COVID. So we were out in Harrisburg where his family's from doing the funeral services. And his brother, I guess would be my uncle-in-law, does F3 out there. And so he's like, hey, you guys need to come work out with us in the morning. It'll be we'll pick you up at like 4:30 or something. We're like, what? You know, of course, kind of that natural reaction that a lot of people get. But of course, the brother sibling rivalry was like, oh, you know, you wouldn't wuss out. And so my father-in-law went, and of course, me being the son-in-law, it's like, well, I'm not going to wuss out to my father-in-law. Yeah. So they get us there. I should say my father-in-law's brother's name's Geppetto. Okay. He's kind of a woodworker. So we're out in Harrisburg. They have a beautiful AO, and I can't even remember what the name of it was, but it was at the National Civil War Museum.
Oh, wow.
It's just this gorgeous area to do a workout in. The guy who was on the queue, see how I remember these vivid details, is several years ago now. Cyclops was the guy's name, and he was actually visiting from out of town and happened to have picked up that cue that day. He led us through kind of a string of pearls. There's a big hill to the top of this where this museum is set, and so we get up to the top in the parking lot and do kind of like a two-man grinder thing. It was like high reps. One guy was jogging down to the other end of the parking lot and back. And I just remember pushing myself to the limit, and I ended up spilling Merlot there at my first post. So unfortunately, that was a little embarrassing, but I finished the workout, and during the naming, my father-in-law, who's a space guy for the Air Force, he does satellites and things like that. He ended up, the name got thrown out for him to be Star-Lord, and he thought this was really cool, right, from the Guardians of the Galaxy, but his brother was like, no, that's way too cool of a name, way too cool of a name. And so he ends up convincing them to name him Lightyear. So he gets Lightyear.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I get up there for the naming. They hear, you know, my last name's Redford. So they hear Redford. He's from the Midwest. They go with Sundance. And I'm like, I like that. I've never seen the movie. I still haven't seen the movie. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but definitely I was like, that's kind of a happy-go-lucky name.
Watch the movie.
I think that's a thing for me. Yeah. So that was my first post. Now, come back to Omaha, Nebraska, where we live, and about a year passes. I'm teaching at Papillion La Vista South High School with Rooney, Feeney, and I know that they do F3. I've seen their F3 stickers on their water bottles and stuff like that. And so I start asking them about it, but I don't end up going for a while. One day I happened to be donating blood at the Nebraska Community Blood Bank. That's something I started in college, and just I like to do it on my own. And so I get there, and there's this board that says F3, and there's all these names and times on it. And so I ask one of the nurses, like, oh, is that, you know, is that a workout group or what is that? And KOA was in there donating blood. And he just swoops in, and he, you know, he's like, oh, you know about F3, and he starts doing the EH thing. I'm like, yeah, I did it once, like over a year ago. And he's like, oh, you got a Titan hat on. You must know Rooney Feeney. I'm like, Rooney Feeney, like, who is that? Oh, Cooley and Spilker. Okay, I know who you're talking about. And so he ends up convincing me to go to Mount Olympus one of the next couple of days. So I kind of had two FNG posts, the one in Harrisburg and then the one in F3 Omaha. KOA says, you know, it starts at 5:15, 4:45 for extra credit. Like, extra credit. I probably need the extra credit, so I'll show up for the extra credit. So I show up. They're also like, you need a coupon. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't have that. We got one. So we get to Mount Olympus, do the pre-run, and I'm 26 at this point, 26 years old, skinny still, but maybe not as healthy as I thought I was. So I start doing the pre-run with these guys, and I'm trying to keep up with them. They're probably going 8-minute pace. And we get about halfway through, and I had eaten a very late breakfast, maybe some apple juice and a cheese stick or something before. And I end up spilling Merlot. And that's two of my brand new posts that I end up spilling Merlot. So I end up finishing the pre-run, getting back to Mount Olympus. And I rallied. We did the a coupon workout at Mount Olympus. I want to say it was a Chernobyl and maybe double dip CoQ. Okay. Murder bunnies were involved.
Yeah.
And it was doable, but it was tough for sure.
That's awesome. So you kind of have like these two, and I didn't know this is really cool, because you got your name somewhere else, and then you were sort of like re-EH'd. So did you not, when you came back from Pennsylvania to Omaha, did you not know F3 existed, or it was like just sort of a one-time thing and you weren't really looking for it, or talk me through that?
That's a really good question. I think I enjoyed it. And I'm a social guy, so like, you know, chatting it up with people while we were working out was something that was appealing to me. But, you know, I kind of thought I had my group of friends at home in Omaha. And, I guess it wasn't something that I felt like I needed. It was just something that was like an activity to do. I got invited to do it. So KOA, who had kind of secondary EH'd me, and I'm back at Mount Olympus, they were going to rename me, and I was like, that's okay. Like, it's been over a year. And KOA is like, yeah, like, you can rename him. But then after the workout, they were like, yeah, I think maybe it was just the attitude that I brought, maybe kind of my jovial spirit. And they were like, Sundance, like, it's just fitting.
Yeah.
And so they decided to let me keep that name.
Nice. I love it. So it sounds like the workout was challenging, both the one in Pennsylvania and then it sounds like the coupon workout was challenging. What was your sort of like fitness journey up to that point? Like, had you been working out? Did you play sports growing up? What was that like for you?
Yeah, that's good. I have always been skinny. But skinny does not necessarily mean athletic, and it doesn't necessarily mean healthy either, I suppose. So I played sports in high school. I did football throughout high school, and I was in show choir, which also is quite athletic. But then after high school, I decided that I'd hang up the cleats and the pads and be done with football. Now, I still liked to work out. What did work out mean? I don't know. Like, I'd go jog on a treadmill. And when I say jog, I'm talking like maybe a mile or two. Bicycles, maybe lift weights, core exercises. But it was nothing ever consistent in college. So I think my freshman year of college, I ended up losing 10 pounds. And I think it was more so muscle mass that I had gained from the routine team weightlifting in high school that I just did not have that routine anymore.
Interesting. When you came into F3, you were maybe more looking for consistency, but were you looking to put some weight on or put that muscle back on? It sounds like.
Yeah. So I kind of hopped in. I think I did Mount Olympus that Wednesday. I did the farm that Friday, which is where I first got the taste of Fun Farm Friday and Flat Farm Friday and just the culture around that.
I love it. And it sounds like with your, when we interviewed Triple T, he was telling us about a cue that Girl Dad did with some karaoke. So I'm guessing you were one of the guys that maybe knows how to sing a little bit, right? With your show choir background.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. I think Girl Dad and Levy did a co-cue, and they did Beastie Boys. They're big Beastie Boys fans. So a lot of their music centered around that.
Nice. I love it. Well, so then talk me through kind of thinking about just your fitness journey, right? Do you feel like where are you at today? Do you feel like you've maybe hit some of those goals, or you're at a healthier weight, or you feel like you're in better shape than when you started?
I definitely feel that I'm in better shape. I think from that first pre-run at Mount Olympus that KOA told me was the extra credit.
Yeah.
And so I did that thinking I was, you know, 26, skinny, like I should be able to still run, spilling Merlot. And then now now when I donate blood, I tell a lot of people this, like, that's where I feel the most healthy. Because before, you know, I'd get lightheaded. I just think, you know, cardiovascularly, I can feel an increase in my health just by donating blood.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, it's interesting, all the sort of unseen benefits, right, that some of that stuff has, you know, I think. And the coupons are kind of a goofy thing that we do, but I do think it, guys that, you know, routinely hit up the coupon sites, or they see some muscle growth, just like you would see if you were lifting weights, you know, regularly. So that's, you know, and I guess you've got the steel mill down in Sarpy too, right? So you've got weights. Did you find yourself sort of gravitating more towards running or towards some of the heavier lifting sites, or how did you navigate that?
Yeah. So obviously I teach at Papillion La Vista South, which is the danger zone, which is on Wednesdays. Yeah. And I did not really know that that existed there, even though that's even closer to where I live. So probably for the first month or so, maybe 2 months, I was going to Mount Olympus, and I liked the coupons, and I thought it was a good amount of weight. But then I think I just got bitten by the pre-run bug that I think a lot of people, in one of your previous podcasts, you were talking about it, everyone kind of says, I was never really a runner. And I wasn't. I hated running the mile in high school.
Yeah.
Now 5Ks are, you know, just a pre-run, just a pre-thing.
What do you think? Was that the fellowship piece, or what do you think sort of got you really into the pre-running?
Yeah, I'd say probably primarily for me is the mumble chatter. Like, that's just some of the best times connecting. I've made some really close friends. You know, I think about Ray Ban is one that I gravitate to a lot, and running with him, and Ear Tag is another person that I've shared a lot of pre-runs with. And even Tony the Tiger, when we were being site cues together, getting that mumble chatter before a workout. Mm-hmm. So that was probably one thing, and primary thing. Secondary thing is the Strava and the Garmin and the challenges, that sort of a little bit of reinforcement. You get a badge or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you look at some of like Farba's, mile times out there. If you're chasing the crowns or the, what, like the coral thing that you get, if you're the guy that runs the most pre-run routes or whatever, there's, Farba's a good minute faster than any of my current mile paces. So I got some room to grow. But what, you know, as you think about what, one of the things, Tony mentioned, or Triple T mentioned, was, you know, sort of he had the older crowd, right, and you maybe brought some of the younger crowd in terms of the farm. But I'd be curious, like, you know, so you're how old are you now? 27, 28?
28.
Yeah. So you're younger maybe than maybe the average guy that we see in F3. What was your experience sort of coming into the group, being on maybe the younger end of the spectrum, trying to build relationships? Like, how did you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought it was a challenge for me, just because people are so open and welcoming. Mm. I know that there's like hate group. It took me a while, to be honest, to like quite understand, like, why are they saying hate? Like, is this with Cassidy and the Sundance Kid thing? To be honest, I had no clue. Then you hear respect and you're like, okay, like maybe now I understand. Mm-hmm. Now I understand a little bit. We had a hate group chat that Baby Shoes, Urkel, some of the other younger guys in F3 Omaha. But honestly, just where I posted the most was Sarpy. I'd love to get out more, and I try to maybe over the summer when I don't have the teaching responsibilities. And there's some younger guys in Sarpy. Mm-hmm. But like all I need is in Sarpy and the connections that I've made there. I also think another thing that has helped me become rooted is just like where I am in my life, and how that kind of matches up with where a lot of other guys are. Cause my M and I, we had some 2.0s, pretty early. So I have a 4.5-year-old. I've got almost a 2-year-old, and then we've got a baby here doing about a week and a half.
Nice.
So like even the guys in their 30s or young 40s, like they've got 2.0s, they've got M's.
Yeah.
So hearing their stories on pre-runs, it's like, no, I can relate to that. Like, oh, your 4-year-old came into your bed last night again. Like, yeah, like I can relate to that.
Yep. Heck yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting, I'm trying to think back. I think my wife and I got married when we were 25 and then didn't have our first kid till, you know, maybe 30. So what, I guess, are you getting you and your high school sweethearts? Are you met in college, or what sort of motivated you to get married and have kids so young? Yeah. Or was that maybe not your choice?
So we went to Papillion La Vista South High School together. So yeah. I get to teach at my alma mater. We met senior year English class. She had already committed to going to the University of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. And I was going to a smaller local school in Nebraska. So we did the distance thing for a couple of years. And she ended up transferring back to College of St. Mary in Omaha. So out of college, we got married. We actually just celebrated our six-year anniversary on May 25th.
Nice.
And yeah, we were married for about 6 months when we got pregnant with our first one, and that wasn't necessarily what was in our original plan.
Yeah.
And it changed our life. I think once that happened, it was like, okay, God, like you've got different plans, and yeah, we've lived it up since then.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, I love it. And definitely is one of those moments where you're like, okay, now we have more responsibility than we've ever had. How are we going to navigate this? What does your wife think of F3? How has that gone?
Yeah, I think she, like most M's, probably was like, okay, what? Like, she tries to pay attention to the lingo that I use. And sometimes I'll translate, but I think she has a pretty good understanding of like who they are and where I'm going when I say I'm going to the danger zone or whatever. I'd say probably one of the most confusing is Halleck Park, because we've got like 4 different names for 2 AOs on Saturday, 2 AOs on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I think that she likes that, you know, I have an outlet for, one, my energy, but two, she sees the connections that I've made with other men through that.
Yeah. What, when you say your energy, what do you mean by that? You're a pretty high energy guy, or?
I hate sitting around.
Yeah.
I just hate sitting around. And so if there's like a weekend, like a set, excuse me, if there's a Saturday that, you know, we're having a slow morning, it's like, okay, I like a slow morning. But if we don't go out and do anything the rest of the day, I just get cabin fever. So if I can at least start my day with a 10K, okay, I hit my 10,000 steps for today, I feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I've got to do something, and preferably outside, right? That's I think one of the things with F3 being outside is like just getting out there in nature, and, you know, tends to start my day better for sure. Have you, the 4-year-old, have you gotten them out to work out yet? A 2.0 beat down or anything like that?
Not yet. We have a Father's Day beat down coming up here in a few weeks. That'll be kind of tied in with the Papillion days, in Sarpy. So I might do that. I think the start time's a little bit later, so yeah. I'm not interrupting his slumber.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that might be a good time.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I'm thinking about some of the other things, has coffee been something you've been able to frequent, or you have to get to work early in the mornings?
Yeah, I think because I post a lot in Sarpy, I try to stick around. I definitely had a budget for that early on when I was going 3 times a week and going places for coffee. I mean, there's good socialization that happens at cafeteria. I think the farm is one that I always prioritized. Mm-hmm. And I started a habit of, this is a good healthy habit, but I started a good healthy habit of bringing my M iced white mocha from the Black Sheep coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And then that started prompting her to, oh, you're going to the farm this Friday, right? You know,
see, that's how you get support, right? To go to all these early workouts. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, as you're thinking about, you know, Fitness Fellowship Faith, I would be curious, like, what's been your journey on from a Third F perspective? Like, and we kind of think of this, like, there's maybe like a spiritual piece of the Third F, and then there's another almost like community service part of Third F in terms of F3. But what's been your experience there?
Yeah. I am a big, like, small group person. I mean, we've attended church my entire life on Sundays, and sometimes, especially when I was younger, I think it was sort of like, okay, you kind of punch your clock on the Sunday. But as I got into college and even in high school, starting to do some additional faith stuff other than just Sunday church, became really fruitful for me, you know, being in a small group to discuss or read scripture together, I think really helped me to grow. And so that's one element of the Third F. And I think that's why, you know, getting a little dose of that every COT, and people share such different perspectives, and sometimes it's more spiritual. Other times it's more, you know, like, hey, put your phone away and spend time with your kids, like, mm-hmm. kind of a message. It's definitely fruitful to get that throughout the week, in addition to just a church service on a Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. What, as you think about, like, leading your family in that Third F space, how is that going? How are you guys kind of choosing to lead your kids? You drag them to church with you and small group and all of that sort of stuff, or what's that like?
Yeah. So one of the COTs that I heard maybe a couple months ago, I think it might've been Break Room. I could just be throwing that out there. I don't know. It was at the Crown. Yeah. He was talking about how his M and him practice, you know, gratitude, because he had read or heard somewhere that you can't be grateful and anxious at the same time.
Oh yeah.
And so that's been something that my M and I have been installing recently. Is we'll say, you know, what are 3 things that we're grateful for before we go to sleep at night, and fortunately we've been very consistent with that. And it just kind of dedicates a kind of a prayer life for us, that has some consistency that way. And then with our 2.0s, I think that they see that consistency, at church. I've been just recently singing in the choir. Nice. And I'm fortunate that my M lets me do that. I understand when we have our baby, managing all that in the pew might be a little more challenging. So I'll probably have to take a hiatus, but I hope that, my 2.0s, and they see me, you know, in the choir and they say hi before the service starts. I hope that just through hopefully an example that I set, they see that getting involved like that is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really cool, right? What a cool way to put a skill, you know, that you've developed over time into use. I sang in the choir at our church on Easter a couple of years ago, and then they never really asked me to come back. So I don't know if, I don't know what that means. I think it just means I'm not a good singer, but, no, I, you know, it's, and that's really cool to lead by example. You know, I think it's hard, right? Cause you're in the thick of it, and we just had our third kid last September. And so you'll, you know, the third one is, I mean, one child is hard, right? And then two is harder and three is even harder. And then I guess I think after three, then it just gets easier because you have so many you can't keep track of is what I've heard. But
that's kind of what Nene tells me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as you're thinking about, you know, the other side of like the third F, right? The community service thing. I mean, you've got obviously two kids, one on the way. So maybe time is, you know, hard to get out and do stuff, but are you still giving blood? Have you found an opportunity to do other third F things in F3?
Yeah. I love to donate blood. I'm overdue right now. But that was something that I've prioritized since joining F3. Unfortunately, just my work schedule doesn't allow me to get out on a Friday, so I can't go the same exact day, but I go on my own, either on the Saturday or maybe the weekend before or after. And, you know, I take such pride in that. I know we all do with hearing how many pints, and knowing just the shortage that is.
Yeah.
I know that we're making a real difference.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as far as some other like community service stuff, my M and I have talked about frequently wanting to try and get our 2.0s involved with some of the Heartland Hope Mission, mm-hmm. you know, Christmas shopping, or helping transfer packaging, stuff like that, just so that they can visibly see, like, you know, not everyone is living the way that we are living. Mm-hmm. And our job's not to ignore it. Our job's to try and get involved and do something with it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. That's a really good reminder too, of just, you know, they're always watching, right? Even if we don't always think they are, even in those younger ages, right? I think they're always watching. And if we build stuff like serving others into the routine, right, that naturally will be something they just realize is part of life, which is really cool. I think we've struggled with, you know, just balancing all the different activities and having three kids now. It's like, okay, when do you do that? And some things have age restrictions. And so finding the ones that you can bring your younger kids to, I think is huge, which I would commend the guys that lead in our sort of third F space. I feel like they're always working to bring those opportunities forward, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing we talk about, right, our mission is, you know, invigorate male community leadership. And, you know, we talk about doing that through plant, grow, and serve small workout groups for men, right, which is one way. I want to get your thoughts on that. But I'm also curious, like, as you think about, so you're a teacher, right? So you're interacting with sort of the younger generation, and you're yourself, right, under 30. Talk to me about just leadership and maybe the opportunities you see, you know, if we accomplish our mission as F3, how does that impact some of the students that you're seeing or guys that are in your sort of age group?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've got, high school students, and I know that there are some of our PACs that have high school age kids. You know, I've been fortunate enough to teach a handful of people's 2.0s, older 2.0s. And so I think that, you know, just having quality fathers, it sets a good example for what treating people with respect looks like, and self-improvement, and doing hard things. You know, oftentimes in education, we'll see people that kind of hit an obstacle, and they might want to give up, give in. I even struggle with this with my own 2.0s, specifically the older one. Okay. You can't get that open right now, or you can't get your seatbelt unbuckled. I've seen you do it before. Mm-hmm. You know, it's trouble right now. Take a deep breath. You know, just because it's hard doesn't mean you can't do it. Mm-hmm. So I think just preaching that, and I always go back to, hopefully I lead by example. I think something I'd personally like to improve upon is maybe being more hands-on and involving, leadership. You know, I said a good example, but how can I challenge others to do the same?
Mm-hmm. What do you teach? What subject do you teach?
I teach two classes. I teach psychology, intro to psychology, and then I teach an advanced placement psychology.
Okay. So, and what, I guess, just curious, what inspired you to become a teacher? Why'd you go down that route?
So I got Feeney was one of my teachers, actually, when I was a student at Papillion La Vista South. But just, you know, obviously he's a phenomenal educator, phenomenal high impact man. And I would say that I had a handful of teachers like that, that, just helped my trajectory and encouraged me and constantly fed me with positivity. That just that inspired me to want to do that for other people. And so that's kind of what I try to lead with in my life is encouragement and pump positivity into people's into their spheres, into their lives.
Yeah. That's really cool. So kind of like what you're saying, right, is we need more men or fathers, teachers, leaders to be good examples. And it sounds like that you had some great examples in the space that sort of encouraged you to go into that. I that's really cool. I am curious, and because you teach psychology, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you won't have an answer, but I am curious your thoughts. Like, we see a lot of guys in F3, right, that have sort of like been through life and sort of get to this point where maybe they're going through some sort of mental battle, identity crisis, like that sort of thing. Any nuggets of wisdom or insight that you would maybe share that to maybe just encourage guys, or I don't know, just curious what your thoughts are there.
Yeah. Know we spend a lot of time with ourselves, right? I remember somebody once telling me, you're the only person that you're gonna have to live with the rest of your life. And so sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to our thoughts, and that can get us into some trouble, especially if we're not nice to ourselves or not thinking rationally. So what's nice about being in a sphere like F3, you've got other people who are constantly pumping positivity in your life, and they're saying honest truths to you. You know, I think about a guy like Animal House, who after attending one of his beatdowns, he sends a text to every single person that attends his beatdown. And I truly believe he's genuine in his, hey, I appreciated that you were there this morning.
Yeah.
And so it can be little things like that, but people, telling us like, hey, like you just set that PR, like you're accelerating. I think about down in Springfield, backup Terry is one of our newer Springfield guys, and he's been posting several times a week, expanding. That guy is accelerating, right? To hear that, or to be told that, rather, is inspiring to yourself and can combat sometimes our negative thoughts. So open ears, listening to the people around you.
Yeah. That's really cool. And I think it is one of those things that I was talking to a guy this morning, right, where even like he, I think what he was struggling with was even just like, how do you receive, right? If you've been so hard on yourself for so long, maybe a perfectionist or maybe something in your upbringing, sort of how do we receive that positive energy or the positive feedback, right? And sometimes I think it's that can be hard to do. I don't know if you have any insights or thoughts there.
Yeah. I think fake it till you make it sometimes.
Yeah.
I think sending out what comes around, or what, you know, what comes around, what goes around comes around, right? If you're sending, stuff out, you know, it'll come back to you. And so I do think that, just a small text message, you know, hey, Utter, I've been thinking about you. I haven't gotten to post with you in a while and hope things are all well. You know, I hope that him receiving that, he realizes that I genuinely care about him. And, I know that I've gotten those kind of messages as well from people. So yeah, maybe fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Push a positivity out in the world.
Yeah. I like it. I think, psychology is sort of a space that I've maybe found some interest in. My background is as a nurse. So I had some psychology there, but, figured I would ask a few, questions since you're kind of an expert in that field, at least teaching some of our high school students, which is super cool. So thank you for doing that. I think, I can't imagine, the job of a high school teacher and what your day to day is like, but.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today.
Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
You know, as we think about leadership in F3, right, we try to give guys an opportunity to lead and sort of develop leadership skills, right? So that could be like your VQ or getting to lead a site. Do you remember your VQ by chance? You mind talking us through that? What was that experience like?
I think I joined the first week of January, and then maybe the second week of February, I think I did my VQ, and it was at Titan Alley, Feeney, so also in Papillion La Vista South High School. He popped his head into my classroom one day and was like, "Have you had your VQ yet?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "It's time." So he marked me down. He's like, "February, yeah." I don't remember the date off the top of my head, but yeah. I put it down. It's a MRF. So, you know, that's kind of helpful to not have to design a workout.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think I take pride in with the first F when I do lead workouts is trying to make a connection between the workout, the physical exercises and reps that we're doing into my COT. So that one in particular, I had been thinking about the COT and people flocking together, you know, having a group. For me, it was finding F3, that we kind of encourage each other and push each other to do better. And so this might have been a little bit of a weird COT, but I thought about geese. And how they fly in a V formation, and they honk at each other to encourage each other to keep going, keep going. And if you get tired, then, you know, you might fly to the front. And again, everyone's just constantly honking at each other to encourage. Nice. So that's what that's what my COT was about, was geese. And I modified the run. We did like a chain run. So the person in the back ran up to the front, and we did that for the mile.
Nice. I like that. I haven't heard that. And I think that's a great picture of what we're doing in F3, right? We pick up the six, we do all of that sort of stuff, which is really cool. As you were saying that, what's it like working out in the gloom with like, you know, Rooney, Feeney, some of these guys that were teachers when you were growing up? Like, what's that experience like? It's got to be pretty cool, I'd imagine.
I look at them, and obviously I hold them in really high regard. And now I look at myself, and I just completed my sixth year of teaching. And I just remember vividly how encouraging Feeney had been in high school, but as well as the start of my career, and kind of getting into education. So now to look back on, I've been doing this for 6 years, and, you know, sort of like I still hold them in a really high regard, and working to hopefully follow in their footsteps and accomplish as much as they've accomplished in their careers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know. Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, you see somebody, and then you get to see them in the gloom, maybe, like, you know, and you're like, well, wait a minute, they're just a normal guy, but you still have just this utmost respect for him, which is cool. Talk us through. So you were, how long were you in F3 before you got asked to be a site Q at the farm?
Let's see. I guess it was about a year.
Okay.
It was about a year in, and, because the first site Q that I had attended the farm, the person who was the site Q when I first attended the farm was Shroot.
Okay.
Who I guess was the second site Q there.
Yep.
So Shroot then passed it on to Skids. And I remember that flag pass pretty vividly because it was Cinco de Mayo and they all had taco costumes on.
Yeah.
So then a few months into Skid's tenure, he starts kind of grooming Tony the Tiger and me. And I think Skids had experienced some challenges with his work life and having like to travel. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, he kind of felt bad having to miss some Fridays that he wanted to try out the CoQ thing, which had been something that a couple of sites in Douglas County, like Main Stage, had done. And so, you know, I liked that idea, just having somebody to rely on. Now, truthfully, though, I did not really think that it would be as useful as it was, because just pretty close to the shovel flag pass, my M decided to take a different job. She was having she was just having a hard time with her workplace environment, and decided that she wanted to try out the hospital setting. So she's a nurse, and she was working at a clinic, but she decided she wanted to get into the hospital setting. So she did that, which switched her to 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
And, you know, when she would have to work some Fridays, instead of her old shift started at, I think she had to be there at like 8 a.m. So like I had plenty of time for F3. Mm-hmm. She would have to either get at the hospital at 7 a.m., which would mean she'd need to leave the house by 6:30, or sometimes she had 5:30 a.m. shift.
Oh, wow. It
really cramped my F3 style.
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, having to miss a lot more. And that really ate at me as a leader. Just, you kind of, you feel bad. You feel like you need to be there and be present. And I hate, you know, I hate putting things on other people. Like, I'm the one who, like, I want to put it on me, and I want to, you know, try to do the work for you, kind of service. But I think through that experience kind of forced me to really lean on Tony the Tiger and Skids and Schrute and Ferdinand as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, the, again, like, you know, God had a plan, right? And maybe you couldn't see it all, you know, ahead of time, but, you know, it sounds like it worked out for a reason. Do you think, in terms of, like, leadership, what do you feel like, what were the takeaways or maybe the things that being a site Q taught you? Anything from that you would share, or maybe advice for other guys that are leading a site?
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the big things I learned there is just humility. And I guess the humility, the humbleness to sometimes ask for help.
Yeah.
To be honest about things. And, you know, I know that Tony the Tiger, he didn't harbor any resentment for me not being able to, you know, be there on a weekend or anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we always say family, you know, family comes first. So humility and leadership I learned through that experience, leaning on each other, you know, delegating tasks, to be, you know, more efficient, yeah. Those kind of things.
Yeah. It's amazing. The, asking for help, right, is not something that many of us are good at. And so I think just being able to being put in that situation and then having somebody you can rely on, is super important. So I love that. What, so talk us through, succession planning and sort of how that went. Cause you handed off to just one guy, right? Not another co-Q pair. How did that go?
Yeah. You know, something special about the farm is just there's a strong local culture there as well in Springfield. And obviously it's pretty far south. I think it's probably the furthest south, F3 Omaha site that we have. You know, and there's a handful of people from Springfield that EH'd by other Springfield locals. So there's a strong culture there, and that's where Rambus, you know, being a Springfield guy, he had really accelerated over the months that he had joined, and had brought other guys out, and you could just see his excitement about being out in the gloom and what F3 represented, trying to challenge people to be better. It was just very clear that he would do a good job of continuing to challenge people and get people out. And he has. So,
yeah, I love the farm's a great site. I've got a lot of good stories there when I've made it there. I got to queue while you were the site queue there, and only place that has bullpen burpees, you know, in all of F3 Omaha. So, and if you don't know what that is, then you gotta go post down there and check it out. What, you know, one of the, where we like to kind of land, is just getting a current assessment or just current, sort of needs. What's going on in your life that guys could be praying for, or, that you might need encouragement on?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, my wife and I are expecting our third 2.0 here, June 7. So I know that there'll probably be a little bit of a step back in, attendance, but, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about people. So,
yeah.
that would be a good area for prayer for
you
me.
Know,
and
you know what you're having?
We decided not to find out. We've done surprises every time.
Okay, same. That's what we've done, and we got three girls. So I don't know. Do you currently have a boy and a girl, or
we got two boys, and one of them's waking up from his quiet time right now.
Nice.
What's up, buddy?
Love it. Hey, you wanna help Dad do a name-a-rama?
Hi.
You wanna do a name-a-rama?
Here. Before we do that, just really appreciate you sharing your story. It's been great just to get to know you. And I love the way you lead. You're leading your family well, it sounds like. And it's cool that you're also kind of following in the footsteps of your role models and leading that work too as a teacher. So thank you for that. Here, I'll start us off with a little name-a-rama. Brandon Fleaharty, 39, The Plague.
The Plague. Ah! Cody Redford, 28, Sundance.
Sundance. Yeah, there we go. You got to watch the movie, I think, right?
Yeah, I do. It's on my bucket list.
Put it on the summer list. Well, I appreciate you, man. This has been awesome. Thanks for your time today.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.